going to pray for Elijah just quickly. And then I'm going to get myself a second cup of coffee. Lord, we thank you for Elijah. Thank you for his heart and what he's prepared for us this week. Lord, we pray and find a blessing over him as he brings his word to share with us. We want to hear what you've got to say to us. So Lord, would you just bless Elijah and the words that he's got to share. We want to hear what you want to say. Would you open our hearts to sink deep in your word and to let it feed us and dwell in us this way. Today and obviously for the rest of the week. In your name, Lord Jesus.
Okay, that was my picture, by the way. Kurt and Anne in Tempe, at the seaside. Who can spot Kurt there? He's got his hat on, and Billy reminded me to put his stick in, so he's got his stick, so he doesn't fall over. So there you go. Kurt and Anne, they'll have a great time in Tempe, I'm sure. So I pray you'll bless them and refresh them as they're away. It's good to be with you again. I think I came on Pentecost Sunday last time and spoke about Pentecost. So it's lovely to be with you all again and to bring the word to us. And Kurt contacted me in the week and said, what I do today. So I'm from a church in Manchester. We've moved back to Wales. So we really feel that we're to be back in Wales. Been in Manchester for 18 years and planted churches over in Manchester. We passed that church on, and now we're back in Wales, aren't we, Hayley? I'm loving it, aren't we? Near our grandkids, and it's just fantastic. So, I want to talk today, the scripture that's been given us is from the Gospel of Mark. And he's been enjoying going through the Gospel of Mark. Kurt often sends me the preaches from his Sunday, so I've often listened to them and listened to how God is speaking to you through Mark. So I want to just talk through Mark chapter 4, verse 1 to 25, and I'll read it in a few moments. And it's really about being a lamp visible for all to see. Being the light. We know that Jesus is the light of the world, don't we? And Jesus tells us when he comes, and he comes into our lives, that we are to shine that light, make it visible for all to see. And we'll read the scripture in the book of Mark. In this parable, and go through it a little bit more. You know, there's a great preacher by the name of Charles Spurgeon. Many of you would have heard of Charles Spurgeon. And he said these words. He says, the Bible is not the light of the world. It is the light of the church. But because the world does not read its Bible, but it does read its Christians. And it's a reminder to us, isn't it, to say that Jesus was the light of the world. We have the light of God's word, the scriptures, but that light's got to find its way out of our lives so that we are shining for Jesus. And this parable is about the lamp and what it means for us and what it means about the kingdom of God. Do you remember Jesus was always telling them about what the kingdom was like, wasn't he? And often it would go over their heads, you know, and sometimes like it does with us, because we're trying to grapple with what this kingdom message is all about. But he gives us some parables to try and explain what the kingdom of God is like. And this is the parable that we're reading today in Mark chapter 4, verse 13, verse 21 to 25. It's linked to the parable of the sower who sows the seed. I'm sure you've been taught on that about the sowing of the seed, which is the word of God, and the hearts that receive the seed. And this parable is connected to that. He's not talking about something else. He's talking about the same thing here. And in Mark chapter 4, verse 13, he says this, something amazing he says about the parable of the seed and the sower. He says, if you understand this parable, you'll understand all parables. And so there's something about this parable. It's about seeking God and understanding what Jesus is trying to tell us. Trying to get the truth, dig in, and trying to get the truth of God's word. So let me just read the parable of the lamp, which is after the parable of the sower. It's in Mark chapter 4, verse 21 to 25. And it says this, then Jesus asked them, would anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket or under a bed? Of course not. A lamp is placed on a stand where its light will shine. Verse 22, for everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open, and every secret will be brought into the light. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Verse 24, he says, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. Who would like to receive even more from God? Yeah. Well, I'm sure every one of us would like to receive even more. So he said, I want you to have ears to hear, and I want you to have understanding about what I'm telling you in this parable, okay? Those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. Wow, it's amazing words, really, isn't it? He's really getting the hearers to say, listen, you've got to really understand this and dig in deep to understand this parable of the lamp and of the seed. These parables, as I've said, should not be regarded as disconnected stories, but they're connected illustrations carefully arranged by Jesus to make a divine truth clear. Having identified the disciples as those who both are able to receive divine truth and equipped to proclaim the truth of others, Jesus tells his parable of the lamp as an illustration of what the disciples are to do with that truth. You know, when God gives us truth, it's so that we can use it in our lives. It's so that, not so we keep it for ourselves, but we can display that truth in our lives when we understand it and we grapple with it and get to know it. So the first one is this. First point I want to bring out to us today is simply this, and these are very simple points. It's the first one, as a lamp, you're meant to shine for Jesus. Anyone, he says, anyone with a lamp puts it under a basket or under a bed? Of course not. The lamp is placed on a stand where its light will shine. Jesus is referring to this lamp. I wish I could have brought an illustration. I brought a lamp like what it was, because it consisted of a small pitcher, a saucer, with a handle at one end, and the pitcher would be filled with oil, and then there would be a wick that floated in that oil, and it would be placed on the oil in order to maximize their light. The lamp was set on a lampstand or a shelf, protruding from the wall, where the light could spread throughout the room. So this lamp, which was put high up so that everyone could see it, and the higher up it was, the greater the light would be in and throughout that room, the greater the light could spread. So Jesus is saying to us, don't hide your lamp, don't hide it away, but make sure it's high up so everyone can see it. No one would hide the lamp. They have to make sure the lamp is seen by everyone. The point is very clear. We have received the gospel not to conceal it, but rather to let it shine through us for others to see. Do you know, there's a great challenge in churches today, and there's a great challenge in our church, and especially in churches in Wales who were more rural like yourself, is how can we as a church let our light shine? How can we affect the communities that we are in with the gospel of the kingdom? That's a challenge, isn't it? And you know, all churches across the nations are grappling with that very same question. How can we let Jesus be known in a greater way, in a greater measure? And it's a question we need to get to grips with, isn't it? In our own lives, personally, but also as a corporate body, so that we become missional in everything we do, so that the light really does shine from our lives, but also from the community of His church. Jesus doesn't want to be hidden. He wants to be seen. He wants the world to see the light through his people. The parable of the lamp tells us we have an obligation to let this light shine. Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 said this, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden." Here again, Jesus is emphasizing, listen, we're here to let his light shine. And so it's not hidden, but it's visible for all to see. It's a great challenge to me and you today. No one lights a lamp and puts it into a basket. Instead, the lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. Matthew 5 verse 14 to 16 says, "In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." In other words, when people see the light shining through our lives, their response is to give God thanks to God. Don't we want our nation, our towns, our neighborhoods to give thanks to God? When they see the light of Jesus shining through our lives or shining through our community as the people of God, as a church, we have to be open. We have to be open about for God's love to shine through our lives and to others. So his first message is this, let your light shine. Let your light shine. And the second simple message from this portion of scripture, number one is we want our light to shine. Number two is the light reveals what is hidden. This is very important in this parable. It says in verse 22, "For everything that is hidden will eventually be brought to the open. Every secret will be brought to the light." What is hidden that will eventually be brought open? You know, he's talking about the kingdom of God. He's talking about God's kingdom. It's not meant to be a secret. You know, I love it in the book of Acts. I love the book of Acts because it's the church on the move. It's the church moving forward. And we all hope to be a church that's going forward in our faith and shining our light. But he says this, in the book of Acts, this thing was not done in a corner. In other words, this thing was not hidden away from everyone. This thing challenged the authority. It challenged the leaders of that day, the religious leaders. It challenged the Roman government at that time. It was a challenge. Why? And it wasn't hidden. And we know there was great persecution as you read the scriptures. And even as you read Mark, Jesus would be talking to a people who could be persecuted for shining their light. Or they would be persecuted, definitely, when Jesus left. And he warns the church, but he doesn't want it to be hidden. He wants it to shine. He wants it to be seen. He wants the light to be open. The first secret that is brought about this light of God's kingdom, Jesus mentioned this secret in verse 11, where he refers to the secret of the kingdom of God. And I want you to know something, that this book, there's mysteries in this book. And I want to talk to you about this word mystery. The word secret is the word mysterion. And it can all be, and it's translated mystery. It refers to God's truth that was previously hidden, but now has been revealed. By definition, the word secret refers to something that is not properly understood. It is like a secret mystery because it's not understood. Who likes watching films that are about mystery? I love them when, you know, the detective programs and, you know, there's a real twist at the end. Don't you love that when you can't see it coming and then at the end you're like hit with it and you think, oh my goodness, that's amazing. I did not see that coming. It was like hidden within the film until you get to the end. I want you to know something, there's stuff hidden in here that the Bible calls a mystery. But there's a difference with God's mysterion. Before Jesus, the kingdom of God was not very clear. We had some information of it in the Old Testament, but it wasn't clear, it wasn't understood. But now Jesus is about to make what was hidden revealed. He's revealing the kingdom. Remember, he said at one point, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In other words, he's revealing who Father God is. But he's revealing the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, within these parables. This is what we are to do as a lamp of God who lives by kingdom truths and shares kingdom truths to others. We are to help God's kingdom be brought into the light. We are to help others understand the gospel, God's truth, God's secret about salvation is to be known by everyone. Do you know, the Bible, there's some mysteries in the Bible. The Bible talks about mysteries. The Bible talks about the cross. We've just celebrated Easter. But the Bible says that the cross is a mysterium. In other words, the cross was a mystery. Remember in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 7, Paul spoke and he said, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God purposed, ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The cross of Jesus Christ was a mystery. Definition of God's mysteries is different from mysteries that we think of today. A mystery, mysterion, that word mysterion, is something withheld from us, hidden from us, but when used in scripture, it changes its usage from knowledge withheld to truth revealed. In other words, the mysteries of the kingdom of God are for us. Matthew 13 verse 11, he says this, he spoke a parable to them, and he said, it is given for you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. God gives us parables so that we can seek and dig into them and find the mystery, the hidden truth, because it's been given to us to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Aren't you glad you know the mysteries of the kingdom of God? One is the cross. The cross was a mystery. The cross was a mystery. You know, God is like, God's a bit sneaky. You find God's a bit sneaky. He hides things from us in order that we will find them. When we were at Easter, we've done a number of, we used to do, I'm sure you've done them as churches, Easter egg hunts, the Easter egg hunts. And you hide the Easter eggs in little places. And then the kids have got to find where they are. Now the purpose of the game is this, that they find them. It's not that they don't find the Easter eggs, it's that they find the Easter eggs. And God's like that within the scriptures. He hides things for us that we may find them. You know, God's not very good at hide and seek. He hides things that we might find them. He really does. He wants us to know the truth of his mystery. Do you remember Jesus was asked the question? They asked the question, who do you say that I am? Do you remember the story? And they said, well, they were grappling and they said, well, some people, they say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're Elijah the prophet. Some say all different things about you. But Peter gets the mystery. Suddenly, Peter gets a download from heaven. And the Bible says, Peter says this, no, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In other words, Peter suddenly knows who Jesus is, that he is the Christ, the Messiah, the one who is to come. And suddenly the penny drops with Jesus. And Jesus says these words, he says to him, he says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father in heaven. In other words, he got it. Can you remember when you just got it about Jesus? When, you know, you may have heard the scriptures, you may have heard about God, but you didn't have a clue who God was. But then one day, suddenly, you just got it. The penny dropped. And you knew who Jesus was. Peter had that revelation of that truth revealed, which was hidden. Colossians 1 verse 26, 1 verse 26 says this: the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations has now been revealed to his saints. Something was hidden, but the gospel was about to be revealed. The kingdom of God was about to be revealed to mankind through and in Jesus. Not knowledge withheld, but God's mysteries, God's mysterium is to be truth. Truth revealed. I remember going to a conference once, and Haley was with me, and I went to this conference, and they had these pictures, all these paintings, and they were magic. Have you remember the Magic Eye paintings? And there was all of like dinosaurs and things like this, and there was all rocks and everything. And you know what? Everyone, there was loads of people, it's when they first came out, everyone was looking at them, and I could hear people saying, "There it is! There it is! Yeah, I can see it now!" But you know what? I was looking for ages. And the more I looked, the more I couldn't see. And what really got on my nerves is Hayley sees it within a second. She's like, "There it is, I can see." But can't you see? Can't you see all those animals, larger? Can't you see them just behind them? Just look. And I couldn't see a thing, couldn't see a sausage. But then all of a sudden, I was there for quite a while, I'll tell you. But then all of a sudden, I could see what I once couldn't see. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah. And that's how the gospel comes through the Holy Spirit. It reveals to you that which you cannot see suddenly is laid open. And that which seems like it was withheld from you suddenly becomes truth revealed. Jesus wants to reveal the kingdom of heaven. And it's only in and through his death and his resurrection. That which is hidden suddenly is revealed. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The word secret also means a valid but not commonly known truth. For example, when someone talks about the secret of a happy marriage, they are talking about the valid and not well-known truth that makes marriages successful. The same is true about the secret of the kingdom of God. Jesus has come to make known valid truth about salvation and about eternal life. This is what we need to do as a lamp of God. We need to make known the truth about Jesus and let that truth shine through our lives. I just want to just look as I close this morning. I just want to close with three very simple things about being the light of Jesus, about shining for Jesus Christ. It's easier to shine for Christ, number one, when we know our purpose. When we know our calling, what God wants us to do as Christians. Do you know, I want to tell you something. God's got an assignment for you that only you can fulfill. You may have jobs that you go to every day and families that you have. I want to tell you, God wants to use your life so that you become someone who shines and reveals this hidden mystery of Christ. Colossians says this: the mystery is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:17. He's saying, this is a mystery. Christ comes and lives within us. Isn't that great? Comes and shares his life with us and through us, so that we may shine and let others know the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you know what we need to do? We need to understand and we need to know our purpose. Do you remember when Jesus in Luke chapter 4, we'll go to it, in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, he stands and he shares. He goes to the synagogue and he opens the scroll of Isaiah in Isaiah 60 and 61. And what he does, he begins to read from the scroll in the synagogue. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." Wow. Because, and then he says this, he says, "Because he has anointed me to preach this gospel to the poor, to set at liberty those who are bound, to bring healing to people, to see God moving in people's lives." And suddenly the Bible says in Luke chapter 4, you read it, that everyone in the synagogue, their eyes were fixed upon him. Because he said something, he says, "Today this is revealed in your sight." In other words, he was giving his manifesto of what he was about, who he was, and what he was going to do. He was the Messiah. And he was the one who was going to release people from their sins. He was going to heal the brokenhearted. Aren't you glad that he's the healer of the brokenhearted people? Amen. There's brokenhearted people everywhere. We need to let our light shine so they know the healer of the brokenhearted. But Jesus says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because..." In other words, Jesus knew his because. Once you know something, you've got to know your because. You've got to know why Jesus is resting upon you right now. You become saved and born again of the Spirit. But you need to know that God's got a purpose and a plan for your life. As a community, as a church in this community, and it's in a rural setting, and you come from all over different places. But I want you to know something. God's got a plan for this place. He's got a plan for you as a body of believers, that the light would shine in your communities. Maybe that's in, as you go back to your community in small groups, or however that is, that the light of Jesus Christ would shine. But you've got to know what you're called to do. You've got to know what your calling is. What is God giving you? What skills and abilities has God given you that you can use for his kingdom? You've got to know your calling if you're to shine for Jesus. You know, we've been pastors for years, and we come to Wales. We're not pastoring at the moment, but it's like, because there's something in the Bible, there's the general will of God, and then there's the specific will of God. Generally, God, you know, the general will of God is, you know, love each other and give thanks to God, all these general will of God, but then there's a specific will of God that God has got for your life. And sometimes you've got to grapple with that and find what God has got for your life, where he's placed you. Amen. And if you're in this church, God's put me here for a purpose, so that my light may shine and touch others. You've got to know your calling. You've got to know your purpose. Second thing, you've got to know, it goes back to what I spoke on last time, you've got to know the Holy Spirit. You know that lamp? There would often be in the houses like a crevice in the corner cut out so that they could put the lamp on so it would give light to the house. And that's where they would place the lamp, high up so it gave light. It gave light to everywhere. But I want you to know something, that lamp was useless without the oil. Do you remember the story Jesus told of the parable of the wise and foolish virgins? And some had filled their lamp up with oil and others hadn't. I want to tell you, without the oil of the Holy Spirit, the light will go out. And I don't know about you this morning, but I'm dependent on the Holy Spirit. We're all dependent on the Holy Spirit for our light to shine. So we've got to make sure that the Holy Spirit is burning in our lives. How do we do that? Well, we develop a relationship with Jesus. We develop a prayer life. We develop a time where we come to his word and we dig in to his word and find those nuggets of truths so that we know the Holy Spirit. Let your lamp be full. So it doesn't go out. Without the oil, there's no light. We need our lamps to be full of oil. You know the song, "Oil in my lamp, keep me burning." We need the oil and lamp. So we've got to know our calling to shine. We've got to know the Holy Spirit in the lamp as lamps of God. And third, we've got to know our limitations. You know, in the book of Corinthians, Paul says this, that we have this power in earthen vessels. In other words, the power's not about the vessel. We're just carriers. Jesus is Christ in us, the hope. He's within us. Amen. Living within us. But, you know, we've got to know our limitations, but so that the power of God is not in ourselves. It's with Jesus within us. The essence of the power is God, Christ within us. And we're just an empty vessel. We're just earthen vessels. But we've got the light within us. Amen. Yeah. The light's living in you. Let's look at your neighbor and say, the light's in you. We've got to shine. We've got to make sure the Holy Spirit is in us. That lamp is full of the oil of the Holy Spirit. And we know our calling in God. And we know that it's not in ourselves, but it's only in God that we can truly shine as lights. Amen. Amen. Be blessed. Amen.